Soft answers to tough questions. We've been talking about this, tough questions, and like I was saying this morning, it's not up to us to seek revenge, and even if people are blasphemous and caustic about God, we are to deal with them softly. We're to deal with them in a soft way so that we're not promoting argument. We are loving our enemies, and in doing that, we want to give them the truth. So the tough question of God, tough question of God. So they might ask, how do you know God exists? Well, we understand the dilemma. We understand why they would ask. God created this universe, so he is not part of the universe. Just as a man that builds a car isn't part of the car. He's not, you know, the back seat upholstery. He's not part of it. He's outside of his creation. So we understand the dilemma that God cannot be discerned by natural human perception. He is not around to be searched out. He can't be found by searching. In 1972, Dr. Francis Schaeffer published a book entitled, He is There and He is Not Silent. This was in answer to the 70s mocking and thinking of God. And the book itself, at least one of its covers, looks like this, He is Not There and He is Not Silent. The thing is, the average unbeliever is happy for us to believe that there's a God, as long as we don't really believe that he's active and that he means something, that he said anything. So Schaeffer was making a great point here. He is there, and he is not silent. He has spoken. And that's the answer, the first answer to our problem. There would be no help to us at all if God had provided a plan of salvation but remained silent. I know, and you don't, and I'm not going to tell you, he says. It wouldn't be any help at all. The God who is really there has not kept silence. We have the Word of God. Now, there's a verse I was going to put in this, and I forgot to put it in, is Jeremiah 29:13. Jot that down if you're taking notes. Jeremiah 29:13. Jeremiah writing to Israel at a time when God was punishing them. Israel was in disfavor by God because of their disregard of his word. But look at this promise. He says, and ye shall seek me and find me. But how can that happen? When ye shall search for me with all your heart. He says, I'm not on display for the curious. I'm not ready to respond to the person that says, I just like to find him, see him, evaluate whether I want him or not. He says, no. When you search for me with all your heart, that means really quite a bit. It means that God is there. God is ready to give his self and truth and his understanding to us, but you really have to be ready to search for him. That search is done not so much in your heart, not so much meditating, you know. This is the search in the Bible, God's words. What God has said. Our remarkable Bible revealed that God exists and that he loved the world enough to send his Son to die for our sins. Once we, like Israel being torn out of their land, once we understand that we are suffering because of our sin, then we seek God and say, please save us. P. people through the years have said, what sense does this life make? Are we just here and then live and eat, sleep, and die, put in the ground? What does that mean? Why should I make any effort of giving my life, my dedication to anything? It's just nothing. You live and you die. The animal lives and dies. I live and die. That's it. So, it's the Word of God. Our remarkable Bible revealed that God exists and that He cares. He loved the world enough to send His Son to die for our sins. So, those who reject God must then seek to discount the Bible. And so we find that those who are actively trying to run from God intellectually are the ones who then find problems with the Bible. Mighty, great time of persecution of the Protestant Reformation. Martin Luther, who started that Reformation movement, said, "Mighty potentates." Seems funny calling leaders of our country potentates, but you know, that's what it means, people with power. "Mighty potentates have raged against this book and sought to destroy and uproot it. Alexander the Great and the princes of Egypt and Babylon, the monarchs of Persia, of Greece, of Rome, the emperors Julius and Augustus, but they prevailed nothing." And then he adds, "They are gone while the book remains." "And it will remain forever and ever, perfect and entire, as it was declared at first. Who has thus helped it? Who has protected it against such mighty forces? No one, surely, but God Himself, who is master of all things." What a coincidence that this book that purports to talk about God and reveal God can't be destroyed by men. It's an important book. It's an unusual book. 66 different books, over 40 different writers, 3 different continents through these centuries. And it's all one story, one God, one salvation, one opportunity. And so it reveals that there is a God and that He offers salvation. If people are interested, if you seek Me, He said, with all your heart, you'll find Me. Woe to the one then who says, I don't really care that much. I'm not going to search. If He wants to trip me on the road, let me just find Him that way. That's up to Him, but I'm not going to search. But there's another way that God has shown that He exists, and it's right there for everybody to see. And that is point B, God's revelation in the Bible gives us other proofs of His existence. One day, God actually appeared on earth in human flesh. Through the years, there have been those, I've brought this up through the years many times, especially around the time of Resurrection Sunday, and people who were studying and trying to disprove all of this, using lawyer thinking and scientific thinking, trying to show that finally, once and for all, prove that Christ did not rise from the dead. But look with me at John 1, verse 14 and then 18. Verse 14, "And the Word," which is what they're calling Jesus Christ here at the beginning of the chapter, "and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we, John says, one of the 12 disciples, we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And then on in verse 18, no man has seen God at any time, that'd be God the Father, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. As we look in the Scripture at Jesus Christ, as we learn of him, as we seek to follow his example, as we obey his command, you must be born again, then at that point we see God. We can't see him with the physical eye. He's invisible. He's not made of matter. He's not something that can be seen. But we can know him. He's declared by Jesus Christ. We read of him. We listen to who he was. And in the perfect life, in the exalted teaching of such morality that the world's never seen, and the documented resurrection of Jesus, we have the proof of existence of the God of the Bible. In the Bible itself, and in the person of Jesus Christ. Even the Christ-rejecting Lord Byron, are you familiar with him, poet? Lovely man with a corrupt heart. But he said, if ever man was God or God was man, Jesus Christ was both. It gives me a slim hope, in spite of what he wrote, that he found the one that he was looking for. So when man could not reach high enough to find God, God reached low enough to rescue man. Well, I said this morning it's a short message, and that's it. There's really two points. One is that God gives us his word, and you can find God, be assured of his existence by the study of the word, if you seek him with all your heart. And then the same with the person of Christ. Here is the embodiment of God. There is no way to explain Jesus Christ, aside from there being a God who is his Father, and he knew him. Let's bow for prayer. Father, we think of those who have convinced themselves that the existence of God is beyond their ability to know. We know that the very fact of our creation is a mystery that is being more and more explained as a part of design, not haphazardness. And the design demands a designer. We ask, Father, that people will stop their frantic urge to deny that truth, that they will recognize how foolish it is to deny the thing that's in front of our eyes every day. We ask, Father, that you might help them to look, to study, to investigate your existence by the Word of God and find that there's no other explanation. That they would investigate your existence by looking at the life and the teaching of your Son and find that there's no other explanation. Father, I ask that you might just stir the interest of those who are damaging themselves and their eternity by rejecting your existence, and help them to find, if at all possible, that they seek you with all their heart. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.